All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 13. 2 Samuel 13. In 30-some years of preaching, this is the third time that I've preached from the verses that I want to preach to you from tonight. But I thought of something this week as I was reading this just for my own edification. I wasn't reading it looking for a sermon or trying to find a sermon. I basically was just reading this for my own personal devotions. But I paused and thought about the text that I want to preach on tonight. And it's we'll begin reading in verse 1. And then I want to give you a few thoughts tonight on the subject of friendship. In verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom the son of David had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon the son of David loved her." Now let me just pause right there and explain to you that David had a whole slew of wives. All right, he had several wives, and he bore children to all of these women, and so he had a whole bunch of kids, and a lot of them were half brother and half sister. All right, now in the story that we're reading here, Absalom is one of David's children, and his little sister's name is Tamar. All right, now by another wife, David had another son, and his name was Amnon. So Absalom and Tamar are half brother, half sister to Amnon, who is the other main character in the story. All right, look at verse 2. "And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her." Period. All right, now let that sink into you. Amnon thought it over and thought, "Nah, it's probably not a good idea." But look at verse 3. "But Amnon had a friend." Amnon had a friend. And you know, sometimes your friends, if you don't choose good friends, can lead you to do something that will really mess things up for you. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now, I preached a message about 12, 13 years ago that I took from this passage of Scripture, and I simply called the message, "Amnon Had a Friend." I tried to come up with a different title for this sermon. It's a completely different thought. But Amnon had a friend. How do you get away from that? It's just, I mean, that verse 3, it's just like a neon flashing sign in this passage of Scripture. Because all the problems started with that statement, "Amnon had a friend." So let's pray together, and then you give me your ear for a little while. Father, thank you so much for the service tonight. Thank you for the great week at camp. Souls saved, young people making decisions, and children coming to know Christ. What a blessing. Lord, just thank you for the way you work in through our people to get the gospel into the hearts of those that need Christ. Lord, thank you for that. And I pray now that you will bless as we open the scripture tonight. Lord, we're just so thankful for the Bible. And as we think on these things tonight, speak to our hearts. Lord, I especially want to pray for the children and the teenagers, for the young people in our church tonight. And Lord, I pray that nothing will distract them, and may they hang on every word tonight. And Lord, help us to see that the decisions that we make in life about who we associate with could have dire results if we're not careful. And Lord, we ought to purpose that we're going to choose our friends and make them people that are going to encourage us to live for the Lord. And Father, I pray that you will speak to every heart tonight. Bless our young people. Thank you, Lord, for all of our teenagers. And Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of so many that, are here. Thank you for calling many of these young people into full-time service. Lord, bless them tonight. May the counsel that they're about to receive from their pastor be something that will just stick in their minds. And Lord, they'll make good choices as they go through life. Help us now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we were to go visit any cemetery in the area and just looked at all the tombstones that are there, we would see all kinds of messages that are written on the tombstones. There would be words like at rest, or may he rest in peace, or may she rest in peace. But suppose that the gravestones were to tell the absolute truth about the individual, about the person who is buried beneath it. And if they should tell the absolute truth, they would have the person's name emboldened upon the stone, and then underneath it would be the real reason why death came. And under, I'm afraid, far too many names would be the summation of the real story. And underneath it, it would say, Bill had a friend. That's really why they're in the grave at such an early age. Bill had a friend. Or Susan had a friend. Or Linda had a friend. Or Mark had a friend. You see, the real reason Amnon lost his life, and I didn't read you the rest of the story. I hope it's 39 verses long. I hope you'll go home and read the rest of the story. I'll kind of sum it up for you here in a minute. But verse 3 says Amnon had a friend. And then you get over into the chapter and you see that Absalom got angry at what Amnon did to Tamar. And he got his men together, and it took a couple years for it to unfold. But one night at a party that was thrown on purpose, a sheep shearing party of all things. Can you imagine that? Yeah, they were having a sheep shearing party. Actually, it was an Amnon shearing party. And Absalom gave the signal, and they pounced on Amnon and slaughtered him right there. Just killed him. His life cut short. And the real reason that Amnon lost his life was because he had a friend, plain and simple. His friend gave him the wrong advice. If it had not been for his friend, this lousy little creature named Jonadab, this little snake, at the end of verse 3, it says that he was a very subtle man. There's so much here. I really ought to just take the time and read the whole chapter to you. But after Amnon was slaughtered by Absalom and his buddies, you turn over into the end of the chapter in verse 32, or verse 31 says, then the king, that's David, Amnon's daddy, the king arose and tore his garment and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, a little snake. I mean, here he is now standing by the king. Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, so now here he is standing there like the loyal little faithful servant, you know. And really, the truth of the matter is, yes, Amnon was responsible for his own sin, but if that boy had just kept his mouth shut. Because you read in verse 2 that Amnon thought this thing over and he said, nah, I can't do this. This is not right. But Jonadab came along, talked him into it in verse 4, down through verse 4 and 5. So the real reason that Amnon lost his life was because he had a friend. You see, I think what had entered into his heart, he knew it was wrong. He knew it was sinful. And he knew that it was very dangerous. Between him and the commission of the sin, there were many obstacles and barriers that kept him from acting on what the devil was tempting him to do. There was the restraining voice of his own conscience that was not yet silenced, and it was screaming at him not to do what was forbidden and that he knew was forbidden. There was the gentle appeal of weakness and frailty and innocence on the part of Tamar. For the Bible says that he knew she was a virgin. There was the dread of his father's father's anger and his brother's revenge. And of course, there was the fear of the judgment of God that always hung over the heads of the Israelites who knew the law of Moses and knew that what was in Amnon's heart to do was forbidden by God in the law. And yet in spite of all these obstacles, Amnon succumbed to his temptations. And the brutal deed was done. The law of God and the law of man was broken and trampled under the feet of a lustful heart. And we find the judgment for sin was not long in coming, for Tamar's brother Absalom was bound on vengeance for his sister's honor. And it was all because Amnon had a friend. Sad. Sad story. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul said, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. And what he meant by that is that some people sin and their judgment does not come upon them right away. And they may not even have to answer for that sin on this earth. They may have, they may get by with it here, but they will have to answer eventually when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ and all the hidden things are revealed. But then for others, the judgment follows quickly upon the heels of sin. And such was the case with Amnon. His brother, half-brother, Absalom, Tamar's full brother, threw a sheep shearing party and caught Amnon at the party, about half drunk. And he instructed his men at just the specific time to pull daggers out of their clothing and to kill him right there in front of everyone. Man, it's a tragic story, is it not? I almost feel guilty making y'all so discouraged. I mean, we've had all this good singing and all these testimonies, and then I get up here and pour ice water all over you. Some of y'all probably like it if I poured ice water all over you right now, wouldn't you? It's hot. But if the truth were told, you know, if Absalom was going to get full revenge for what happened to his sister, There was another who should have been executed on that day. And that was Jonadab, Amnon's friend. For if he'd have just kept his mouth shut and not planted the seed in Amnon's head, this mess would probably never have happened. And I submit to you tonight that Jonadab opened the way for Amnon to do this terrible deed. And just think of the impact that this sin had on David's family. Tamar was destroyed by this lustful act. Her life was ruined. Absalom, well, we know what happened to him. His life was ruined. David was devastated by all this. It's amazing that in verse 20, verse 31, man, he is so torn up. All he's doing is laying, just tearing his clothes and lays sign of brokenness. And just he just don't know what to do with himself. You can read on and you'll find out, read over in verse 37. It says, and David mourned for his son every day. He mourned for Absalom. Because, you know, when Absalom did this, now, you know, he fled. He couldn't stay. The law he'd have been in trouble with the law. He couldn't stay. He's now a rebel running. David is devastated. His whole life was turned upside down here. Every member of David's family was negatively impacted by what happened. And now here's the sad part. Jonadab was unscathed through the whole thing. Isn't that usually the way it works? And make no mistake about it, folks, all this happened because Amnon had a friend. And should you go over to Israel today, and if you knew where the bones of Amnon are laying in the ground, if the truth were told, there would be a gravestone over his bones that simply read, Amnon had a friend. For that is really the summation of his short life and of his tragic death. And I'm sure that this epitaph tells the story of a multitude of people who saw a tragic end to their earthly lives because they listened to the wrong advice from the wrong friend. Now, there are three quick things I want you to think about tonight. First of all, let me make the point that all of us are social beings. All of us are social beings. I think the poet said it best when he exclaimed, no man is an island. No man is an island. Another great historian said, God divided man into men so they might fellowship with each other. Last week, or maybe week before, I was watching TV about 10 o'clock at night, and I got, I think it must have been last Monday night, because I watched Bill O'Reilly, and then I watched Sean Hannity, and then I watched Greta, and they were all talking about the same thing, and I said, so I started going up. And on one of the, evolution channels, one of those, History or National Geographic or one of those, Science Channel, one of those, they were doing a story about men in prison and how men behave in prison. And they were talking about how these people in isolation will make pets out of mice and cockroaches and bugs and moths. Can you imagine that? And they said, and they interviewed one of the jailers, and one of the jailers said, if you really want to punish them, you just go in and take their creatures away from them. That they become so attached to these creatures because they're isolated from everybody else. And it just proves the point that we are social beings. Everybody needs friends. I need them, you need them, we all need them. God has so made us that way. And you know why God made us that way? Because that's the way He is. Don't you remember He talked about Abraham was a friend of God? God made us in His image. The whole reason He created us was so we would fellowship with Him. And we see this social principle working even in the Godhead. Folks, Jehovah God is not revealed to us in Scripture as some lonely, solitary being who is isolated and aloof and unconcerned and unapproachable. Instead, God is presented to us as the God of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's almost like God is saying to us that He has provided for every part of our makeup. The God of the Bible meets every need that we have, body, soul, and spirit. God the Father speaks to my mind. God the Son saves my soul. And God the Holy Spirit comforts me and encourages me as I walk through life. Now, God's concerned about all of me. Because He made me, all of me, in His image. And He fellowships with me in that image. We see this social principle at work in the establishment of the church. Hey, folks, that's why the writer of Hebrews said in plain and simple language that the believer is not to forsake the assembling of himself of ourselves together. We don't get up on Sunday morning and go down alone in the basement with a hymn book and a Bible and have church all by ourselves. No, we come to the house of God. And you know and I know that the more of us that are here, the better. Now, you can't tell me if you walked in here one Sunday morning and there were only eight of us in here that it would not just be a real downer. You'd walk in and say, "What in the world happened? What'd you do now, preacher? What'd you preach on now?" I mean, we are social creatures. And we see this social principle at work in the establishment of the church. We all realize that there is something special about gathering together and speaking to with one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We gain strength and that spirit of determination. We feed off of one another, and we gain strength from one another's commitment to the gospel. We realize the Holy Spirit is working on others even as He's working on us. And we see and hear the burdens of others, and we share those burdens, and we see the problems that others are facing, and that encourages us to pray for them as they look at our problems and are encouraged to pray for us. At the end of that verse, the writer of Hebrews said, "And so much the more as you see the end approaching." So as we see the day of the Lord coming, brethren, it's not going to get any easier to live for God. It's not going to get any easier to serve God. We're going to need our church as time goes on even more than we need it today. So we need the strength that we can get from one another. We're social creatures. But then secondly, let me make the point that being social creatures, we've really got to be careful who we choose to be our friends. Oh, you got to be careful, Christian. We're social creatures. God made us that way. But oh, how careful we must be when it comes to choosing our friends. For like the best and greatest of God's gifts, the gift of companionship and friendship can be perverted and abused. And boy, the devil knows that. Hastily formed and ill-chosen friendships can be a person's downfall quicker than anything else. And one thing is certain, there are Jonadabs at every turn of the road. There's always going to be a Jonadab, young person. There's always going to be a Jonadab that is there waiting just to give you his bad advice. All of us are going to have to stand and give an account to God as individuals. I mean as individuals. So it behooves us to choose friends that will encourage us to live for God and make good choices along the way. We've got to stand before God individually and give account to God as an individual. And brethren, when that day comes that you are standing before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord asked you about a specific matter, you cannot say to the Lord, "Lord, wait a minute. I need to ask Jonadab to come and stand beside me. Jonadab's the one that talked me into this." Oh no, it won't work. You got to give an account yourself. You got to bear the shame and the reproach yourself. And you will not be able to put it off on Jonadab who gave you the bad advice. I'm saying, folks, be careful with the men and with the people that you choose to be your friends. Amnon had a friend. And it cost him everything. He paid the maximum price, but he paid it alone. Man, you get over here at the end of the chapter, I challenge you, go home and read it tonight. You get to the end of the chapter, they're carrying Amnon out to put him in the ground. And Jonadab is standing by the king, giving the king advice and counsel. Read it. Sad. All because Amnon had a friend. Then thirdly, let me give you some safeguards in choosing friends, and then we'll have communion. I especially want the teenagers and the children and the new Christians to listen very carefully right here. Hey, Amnon had a friend. Your friends can either help you draw closer to God, or your friends can push you away from God. Let me give you three things real quick, and I'll close. First of all, you must be a person of fixed principles yourself. You must be a person of fixed principles yourself. I don't know how many people have said to me through the years, how many parents I've talked with through the years, and they said, "You know, Pastor, my son or my daughter is just, they're just not strong. They're just not as strong as they ought to be. And they're so easily persuaded by their friends to do the wrong thing." Oh my goodness. Young people, listen, know what you believe. Know why you believe it. I mean, get you some convictions and stand upon something, would you please? Just make up your mind that I'm not going to listen to the Jonadabs of this life. I'm not going to be led down a path that's going to lead me to destruction. I mean, just stand upon the truth of God's word. If you're just wandering around in no particular direction, it's really easy for you to be persuaded to go with someone who's going in the wrong direction. So know what you believe. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You don't need a crash course on that. So just make up your mind you're going to do the right thing. We need to stop and realize that sin has consequences to it. All Amnon got from Jonadab was encouragement to fulfill his sinful desires. He didn't tell him. You read it, folks. He did not tell him that there was a terrible price to pay just down the road. He didn't tell him that. But Jonadab never does tell you that. And young people, you're going to find a Jonadab at every step as you go through life. And when the Jonadabs of this life come across your path and encourage you to sin and encourage you to fulfill the desires of your heart, just stop and consider the consequences before you do anything. Secondly, boy, here's something that's, young people, please listen to this. Secondly, you need to be prepared to have to face some things alone. Not long ago, I had a fellow here in our church, and he stopped me and we were talking. He's a new Christian. And he made this comment. I don't remember exactly the context in which he said this, but he made the comment about his family and about where he works. And I kind of get the impression, or got the impression, that he works with his family. But anyway, he said this. He said, Pastor, I feel so all alone. And he was talking about the fact that he's the only one there that's saved. And boy, they really give him a hard time about being saved. And he said, Pastor, I just feel so all alone. And this is what he said. And man, it stuck with me. Here's what he said. You ready? He said, that is just not my world anymore. Amen. I like that. He said, Pastor, that's just not my world anymore. I like that. Let me ask you, Christian, do you have a world? Do you? Do you have a world tonight? You should have your own world and have the courage to stay in that world and breathe its pure air, even if you have to be alone. And I've been thinking about that statement. That's just not my world. What world are you living in? What world are you living in? You don't want to venture over into the world of the Jonadabs of this world and listen to them try to lead you to go against your principles and go against your convictions that you have gotten from the Word of God and from your mom and dad and from this pulpit and from your Sunday school class. Don't let any Jonadab come along and lead you down the wrong path. Then number three, the chief of all safeguards in friendship is the friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just being a friend of the Lord's. You read your Bible every day and communicate with Him. You let Him talk to you through the book and you talk to Him through prayer. If you choose unwisely and you choose a Jonadab, you could end up like Amnon and lose it all. You could listen to some ungodly advice that will lead you down a path of destruction and ruin if you aren't careful about the friends that you choose. But there is one that you can get close to and you don't ever have to worry. And that one is the Lord Jesus. You see, here's a friend who loves you without stipulation. That's pretty neat, isn't it? He loves you without qualification. He loves you without reservation. He loves you even without reciprocation. He would never do to you, never do to you what Jonadab did to Amnon. You go and ask his advice, he is never going to give you the wrong advice. Never. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I remember a couple years ago, one of our teenagers came to see me and said, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. I want your advice. I said, okay, and I listened. And when he was finished, I said, all right, here's what I do. And I told him what I would do. He said, thanks, Pastor. Got up and left. About 20 minutes later, I thought, wait a minute, that wasn't the right advice. I went tearing out the door. I ran down the hallway. School was just letting out. And as I ran out the back door back here, I saw his car going over the, going up over the rise. I thought, oh my goodness, he's about to go home and probably going to get grounded for the next 8 years. And then I thought, wait a minute, he's going to soccer practice. So I ran back in, I grabbed my car keys, I went back outside, I zipped across the road, and sure enough, there he was. And I said, oh my soul, come here. I took him off to the side and I said, you remember all that I told you a while ago? He said, yeah. I said, don't do that. But Pastor, you said, I said, I'm wrong, wrong, dead wrong. Don't do that. He said, really? I said, no, don't do that. Well, what do I do? I said, all right, let me give you some more advice. He looked at me kind of funny. I said, trust this one. And I told him what I thought he ought to do. And when, and as I told him what I thought he ought to do, after I thought about it and God had spoken to my heart about it, I said, here's what you need to do. I said, you ask me, I'm telling you. Listen, here's what you need to do. And so I started telling him again. And as I was telling him, that one rung a bell with him. When I told him the first time, he was sitting there looking at me, you know, like, really? Sounded good from where I was sitting. But it wasn't the right advice. And he did take my advice, and God blessed it. Amen. Folks, you don't ever have to worry about the Lord messing up when you go ask him for advice. Lord, what should I do? He'll tell you every time. You ask his advice and he gives you counsel that is the absolute best that you could get from anybody. And when you follow that advice, you'll never need to worry about what it's going to cost you down the road once you follow it. For he'll never lead you to do anything that will cause you or anybody else any harm. A lot of you young people here tonight are maybe wondering what you should do with your life. Maybe you're asking one of your many friends, and I'm not against you. Don't think I'm against that. I'm not against that. But I tell you, you better go to the Lord and find out what the Lord wants you to do, because he's never going to give you the wrong advice. I mean, just bring it to the Lord. He has proved his love for you by laying down his life on the cross. Do you think now that he's, after all he's done, I mean, he died on the cross for you. You go to him and ask him a question. Do you think he's going to give you the wrong advice? Oh, no, it'll never happen. You can trust his counsel. Hey, Amnon had a friend. And sadly, that man's name was Jonadab. Why not live your life so that when it comes time to put a monument up over your bones, it'll say, whatever your name is, Joe had a friend. Doug had a friend. John had a friend. But then it'll say, and his name was Jesus. And if you'll follow Jesus's friendly advice, you won't be making some bonehead mistake like Amnon did. I'm saying, young people, I'm saying, teenager, I'm saying, young adult, I'm saying, young mother, I'm saying, young dad, be careful. Amnon had a friend.